Looking forward at the Fed.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The top policymakers at the Federal Reserve are holding a meeting today, as they often do, to decide what to do next. They're not expected to raise interest rates or start any new bond buying programs. The question today is job growth now strong enough for the Fed to start withdrawing some of its economic stimulus? We asked Roberto Perli of International Strategies and Investment Group.
From the point of view of Fed policy, the more important thing is what will employment look like going forward rather than what it looked like looking backward.
And going forward, he says, the Fed has a lot of economic headwinds to consider.
Ranging from housing that's still weak, gas prices that are going up. They're worried about disposable income that's not growing at all in real terms. And so they're worried about the prospects for consumer spending. And they're worried about Europe.
Oh, yeah, Europe. Actually, the last time things started looking really good in the job market and economists started asking if it was time for the Fed to pull back some of its economic stimulus was about a year ago. And it was in part Europe's debt crisis that ended that discussion. Now to the Republican presidential race. Voters in Mississippi and Alabama will have their say today on the party's nominee and who that should be. Polls show a close race. We are going to continue our ongoing series now on the economic views of the candidates with someone who's been following Rick Santorum's career in Pennsylvania for a long time. Terry Madonna is director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College. He's with us now from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, if you listen to Senator Santorum's speech on Super Tuesday, there was a lot of what could only be described as economic populism, sticking up for the little guy. What is his record on that when it comes to his time serving the state of Pennsylvania?
Well, I mean, I think he has been described sometimes as a big government conservative. I mean, he represented a very large heterogeneous state, steel, coal, oil. He, you know, fought for the economic interests of the state. He was against NAFTA, in other words, against free trade. He supported a ban on steel imports. But he voted for lots of big budgets and for government spending. So, you know, the big point here is that it usually was at the behest of and in context with the business community.
If you look at Santorum's plans, it's clear that he wants to cut taxes and increase tax deductions. But on spending cuts, he is very vague. And I'm wondering, is this a guy who is just being coy about the spending cuts he wants, or is he just okay with having big deficits?
He does talk about reducing the deficit, but you're right, there's not a lot of specifics about how that would occur. You know, he does support balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, which would cap government spending at 18% of GDP growth. So, yeah, he's vague on the specifics.
But was he a big cutter when he was in the Senate?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he voted for increases in government expenditures when he approved the federal budgets, of course.
Let me finally ask you about Santorum's own economic background. Tell us something that we don't know about him.
Well, maybe this, that he really talks about being sort of a blue-collar, working-class guy. But in reality, he grew up white-collar. His dad worked for the Veterans Administration. He was a psychologist. His mom was a nurse who worked for the VA. Hmm. I don't see working-class roots. He talks about his grandfather in Somerset County in southwestern PA, you know, a miner. But in reality, he grew up with his parents working for the federal government.
Terry Madonna is director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College. Terry Madonna, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks as always.
And you can find out more about all the candidates' economic ideas at our website, marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up almost 1% in Singapore, which the Economist Intelligence Unit has just named the world's third most competitive city to do business. Stocks are up about 0.5% right now in London, which is the second most competitive city on the list. Number one is New York. And on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 37 points to close at 12,959.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Now to southern Illinois, where deadly tornadoes recently ravaged parts of five counties, counties that will not get disaster relief from the federal government, even though the state's governor, Pat Quinn, has asked for it. FEMA denied the request, and now Governor Quinn is appealing. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Bill Summers is fire chief in Harrisburg, Illinois, where seven people died in the February 29th tornado. He showed FEMA officials the damage, including a destroyed feed store, gas station, senior center, strip mall.
Then it went into what we call the country club area, where it was some high-dollar houses, where it just really wrecked a bunch of them.
When FEMA considers disaster aid, it doesn't just count damaged houses. It looks at private insurance coverage. Are there state and local disaster funds? And what's the disaster's impact per capita on the entire state? And that's just a start. With that in mind, Kentucky and Indiana got some tornado aid. Illinois and Ohio didn't. But unlike Illinois, Ohio won't appeal, says spokeswoman Tamara McBride.
Instead, we have requested through the Small Business Administration low-interest loans for the impacted residents in that community.
Illinois' governor insists that FEMA underestimated the tornado's impact on towns like Harrisburg. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally to Iowa, where Dave Larson just turned 40 years old. And to celebrate his big birthday, he decided to run 40 miles. Dave started at 7 a.m., ran all the way till 2:30 in the afternoon. His wife and kids followed in a car to cheer him on. After it was all over, his wife Leanne said she was proud of him, but she told the Des Moines Register, "I don't want to do it for my 40th birthday. I'm thinking spa." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.